Design Pickle is a big supporter of everything Unseminary. If you haven't heard, they are a flat rate, unlimited use graphic design service helping churches across the nation. We're a proud client of theirs and love how they help us make social media graphics and those downloadable PDF article summaries that we've been sending out. Even if you have a designer, you need to check them out. To learn more, visit designpickle.com/churches. On that same page, you can watch a totally free 30-minute video of me and the founder of Design Pickle talking about modern church marketing. And of course, pickles.
Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. Are you looking for practical ministry help to drive your ministry further, faster? Have a sinking feeling that your ministry training didn't prepare you for the real world? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in pursuit of stuff that we wish they had taught in seminary. Buckle up and let's get started with this week's Unseminary Podcast.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. My name's Rich, the host here. I'm so glad that you decided to spend some time with us. Happy Thursday. We hope that you're having an incredible week as we get ready for this coming weekend at your church. We know you're busy. We know you've got a lot going on. And so it's an honor that you would take some time out today to spend some time with us. Today, really, I'm pumped about today's guest. I've been looking forward to this for a while here. We've got Ryan Britt from Church of the 1122. So it's going to be a great conversation. They're a fantastic church, one of the fastest growing churches in the country, just 3 years old. And I'm gonna let Ryan tell us a little bit about their growth. They have one location. They're in Florida, which at this time of year is about when I start to think, gosh, it'd be nice to be in Florida. So Ryan, welcome to the show.
Man, my pleasure to be here, Rich. Thanks for having us.
So glad. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Church of 1122, starting with your name?
Well, my name's Ryan Britt. Yes. I'm the executive ministries pastor here at the Church of 1122. And I'll just give you a little history of the church and how we got to where we are. Our lead pastor, Joby Martin, was moved to Jacksonville 12 years ago or so to be a youth pastor here in town and worked at a really great church at the beach called Beach United Methodist Church, known as Beach Church here in town. And he grew a youth ministry there and was a part of a really vibrant and alive ministry through the whole church with Pastor Jerry Sweat. And over time, he ended up becoming the executive pastor there.
Okay.
And he and Pastor Jerry had a real heart for reaching the generational gap between the students that were leaving Joby's ministry and their parents that were filling Beach Church. And so they decided to start a new service for this generation that they hadn't quite tapped into yet. And they started it, and they picked the service time of 11:22 a.m. And 11:22 just kind of stuck. And so it started as a service in 2008. Easter of 2009, they opened the doors, and about 1,500 people showed up. And that was the largest service they had ever had to date. And so that's where the growth began, and over a couple of years of that service really taking off, Pastor Jerry, through a lot of situations and God-led circumstances, felt like it was time for Pastor Joby to launch out and start his own church and be the lead pastor. And so Pastor Joby and the elders and a team started to build and planted the Church of 1122 in September of 2012. And then when they left Beach Church, they had about 1,500 or so in regular attendance, and they opened the doors to 1122. It was about 3,000 people showed up the first Sunday. They were able to open in a fully renovated facility. It's an old Walmart. We are neighbors with Hobby Lobby, which is a real blessing. You know, they're so overtly Christian, they make Chick-fil-A look like they're in question sometimes. And so it's they're a great neighbor to have, and they're closed on Sundays. And so we have all the parking available to our team here. So fully renovated space. When they first moved in, about 40,000 square feet, and over around 18 months, the church was growing so fast they had to renovate the back half of the space. And so, man, God's really blessed us with a great facility, and we've got a great team here. 3 years later, we are so September was 3 years, our birthday, and we're running, we're averaging about 6,000 on the weekends right now.
That's incredible.
And we are one location. We have two venues, two worship venues in one location. So we have the live preaching room with Pastor Joby, and then we have a video cast room. And we'll start our second full location about 15 miles south of here. Starting, it opens January 10th.
Great.
And we're scouting out locations 3 and 4 right now. So it's a really exciting time. I've been here for about 18 months. I moved down. I was at 12 Stone Church in Atlanta for 5 years before I came here, and have been friends with these guys for a long time. And so when the opportunity came to help come and serve here, I just jumped on board. And my family and I have two little girls, and my beautiful wife, Jennifer, of 10 years. So we've been loving it, man.
It's fantastic.
It's a great ride.
Well, I'm sure as people are listening in there, this is one of those churches you need to be following. Church of 1122 is doing some incredible stuff. And you've moved off of just having services at 1122 in the morning. You know, you've got like, what is it? Is it five or six services, something like that?
Yeah, we have a Thursday night service at 722. 9, 11, 22, 1:30, and 5:22 on Sundays.
Okay, great.
So our Thursday night service is crazy. It took a few years to catch on, but it's about 1,000 people every Thursday night that come in here to worship. And
is it the same service that's on Sunday?
It's identical.
Interesting. That's really cool. That's an innovative. I was just talking to a church recently that does the same thing on Friday nights, but they do Friday and Sunday. So interesting. Yeah. Very cool. Well, with a church that's growing so quickly, you know, as Church of 1122, I think the obvious thing would be like, gosh, how are you getting the word out there? How are so many people finding out about your church? But one of the things that I love about what your church is up to is really we want to talk about assimilation. How is it that you're able to connect so many people so quickly to really go, you know, from start to 6,000 people in 3 years? That's incredible. You know, let's talk about that. How is it that you're kind of moving people along from being just being in the crowd ultimately to being part of the core and the community?
Well, it's a great question, Rich. I think for us, there's two things. One, growth was really never the goal. I mean, obviously we want to grow and we want to reach our community, and but we don't do any marketing. We have never done any outside marketing. We've never sent a mailer out. We've never done any kind of radio or press or anything like that. We just have – God has really blessed us with incredible people here who live on mission in their workplace and in their just sphere of influence, and they invite their friends. And hundreds of first-time visitors pour in a month. Just – and everybody that's got here either got here via – some random Google search, or they were invited by somebody, and majority overwhelm was invited. And so that foundation of people being missional and inviting their neighbors is key actually to assimilation. And it's because once they get here, they're here with a relationship, and they will follow that relationship into the next step, or that they have someone who will walk through that next step with them, depending on what the step is. And so for us, once they get here, getting them connected to belonging is how we would say it. You know, we really want to be about disciples making disciples. We want to see people who are just relentlessly passionate about following Jesus. And we preach the Bible verse by verse. We sing and we preach. That we don't do anything fancy. We don't have, there's no lights, shows or anything like that. Not that that's bad. That's just not what we do.
And
we're in an old renovated Walmart. And so when people show up, it really is an encounter with God that we are trying to give them through the word. And we kind of build our assimilation around this model of preaching that we have, that we preach verse by verse and everything kind of follows the sermon direction. And what I mean by that is that we don't have a formula that says you need to take step one, step two, step three in place. Like we don't have spiritual formation 101, spiritual formation 201.
Right.
We just have next steps. And all of those steps, I think one thing that may be unique to us or that's maybe not unique but really working for us is that all of our next steps are connected to each other.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is, let's just say baptism is something that we celebrate twice a year here. We were able to baptize, man, praise God, we were able to baptize about 400 people last year, 400 adults.
That's incredible.
And every adult who goes through the baptism process, they hear multiple times through the process, which is a baptism class, baptism meetings, and then the actual baptism day. They hear about joining serve staff teams, joining a disciple group, going on a mission trip. Finding a next step, that baptism is not the end. It is just one step in growing in your relationship with Jesus and with the church. And so
before we move on from that, let's dig into that example. I think that's a perfect example because I think all our churches can miss those opportunities to be super clear. So let's talk about that baptism example, you know, particularly. How is it that through that process you're talking about it, basically kind of in every class, every interaction, how are you making it super obvious that here are your next steps?
So in the class, we talk a lot about, hey, we kind of have three primary steps that we're trying to get everybody to. One is a disciple group or a serve staff team or both or go on a mission trip. We found that mission trips are a really straight, fast line for catalytic discipleship.
Interesting.
That's really the primary focus of them for us is the short-term sending is seeing God change our people through it. And so those three things, we talk really specifically about it in class. We have print materials that support it, and we have opportunities for people to sign up in the class for their next step.
Right.
We also shoot a video for every person who gets baptized. They shoot a video, and at their video, we remind them again, hey, we want you to take a next step. What are you considering? What do you feel like God's leading you to do? And then we help them through that. And then when they get baptized, after they come out of the tub and get changed, we pray with them and we talk with them again and give them another chance to sign up right there. And that's usually on a Sunday or in the environment that we're baptizing. So I think it's just about being specific and having the materials to support the step. It's one thing to say, hey, join a disciple group. When you get home, go online and check it out. And we lose people there. So we try to keep it right in front of them to help them not make the step for them, but to give them real straight access to the opportunity that's in front of them.
Yeah, I just want to highlight what you've said there. I don't want people to miss it. I think sometimes what happens when we run, you know, various events or classes or ministries or, you know, small groups, what happens is the people that lead them are very concerned about their thing. So you've got baptism people who are very concerned about baptism, and they do a very good job at leading a baptism class. They're amazing at it. They're great. It kind of becomes their whole world. But the reality of it is the people we're serving, this is one piece of their spiritual journey. And we've got to work to move people on into other pieces of the puzzle for them. And so working with our people, part of what I've loved what you've done is you made it super intentional to say, hey, within baptism, we're going to be talking about short-term missions, or we're going to be talking about, you know, other, you know, discipleship opportunities, which could be a disconnect for some people who are running those classes because they're like, no, wait a second, baptism is the most important thing. We're like, yes, baptism is incredibly important, and we're so glad they're on this step right now. But during this process, we want to help them take their next step, and a part of your responsibility is to do that. I love that. What about on Sunday mornings? How are you kind of helping, even a very large crowd, you have a lot of people who are there. How are you helping those people? Are you teaching assimilation in that environment?
Every Sunday. We teach assimilation every Sunday. We have in every seat back in our worship center and in our sanctuary video venue, we have a very large respond card. It looks really similar to what a connection card may look like. Just like you can't miss it. This card is so massively big. And so we have those respond cards, and before we do the sermon, we have what we call a pastoral moment where myself or one of the other pastors who aren't Pastor Joby come out, and we set up the sermon, and we talk about maybe one really important announcement. But during that time, we hold the respond cards up, or we tell people, hey, grab your respond card. And be ready to fill it out as God stirs your heart during the sermon. And, you know, on there's a section that says, we want to pray for you. And they write prayer requests. And so a lot of times we get a lot of prayer requests. And one of the beautiful things about that respond card is that we actually, as a staff, pray over every prayer request that comes in via those respond cards. And people writing in prayer requests gets them used to engaging that way, and so they begin to fill in next steps. There's probably 6 or 7 steps, depending on the season, that they can take on that card, whether that's I'm a first-time guest, I surrender to Jesus, I want to join a disciple group, I want to serve, I want to go on a mission trip, I want to become a member. Whatever it may be, we have the opportunity for them to respond. We also have the opportunity for people to respond via giving on those respond cards. They can give, and we teach giving as a response to the gospel here. We are big We don't call our last song the benediction song. We call it the response song. And so everything in our language is built around respond, respond, respond. When God speaks, you respond. God speaks, you respond. That's the appropriate reaction to God, is to respond in obedience to Him. And so we don't pass the giving bucket either. We have giving boxes all around the room. And during the last song, we tell people, hey, we respond through prayer. We respond through giving. So now's the right time to go to the kiosks or to the giving boxes and drop in your response to God's faithfulness in your life. And so every little thing about our culture says respond.
Interesting.
Pastor Joby teaches it. And then in the benediction, the last part, Pastor Joby will get back up, or our location pastor or campus pastor or the video venue, they'll stand up and say, hey, in the back of the room, there's a the Connect Center, and it's got huge. We wrote it's an actually fully built out, fully constructed space that's like an information hub where there are highly trained volunteers that know about all the different things that we have going on. And we say, if you want to get connected, the Connect Center is where you need to go, and somebody there will help you find the right next step. And every Sunday, dozens and dozens and dozens of people pour in the Connect Center. For a lot of people, going and talking to a stranger about a spiritual decision is a little weird, and that's the beauty of the respond cards, is you can drop them in the giving boxes, you can leave them in your seat, you can give them to somebody on the way out, or you can take them to the Connect Center and talk to somebody. It gives you a lot of opportunities for us to follow up with you in a way that makes sense based on just your personality and where you are in your spiritual journey.
Absolutely. So I love that. A couple things. Would you mind sharing a copy of that Connect card? I'd love to be able to put that in the show notes if people.
Yeah, I'll email you a PDF.
Yeah, if you email me a PDF of that, we'll put that in the show notes so we have that for folks so they can see that. Now, what about, do you do a specific call out to kind of first time guests or folks that are new here in that response card? Like, hey, if I'm new here, check this box. Are you doing, some churches will do like, you know, they'll give a gift away to first time guests or anything like that. Are you doing that or no?
Well, we have not been until this point. We mentioned first time guests every few weeks. It is definitely not a priority in the messaging on Sundays.
Yeah, that's fine. That's cool. So obviously growing at the rate you're growing, you've got a lot of them and it seems to be working. The thing I love that you're doing is pushing towards getting people connected right away. In some ways, I think sometimes maybe we slow people down too much on the front end, as opposed to saying, hey, no, we want you to jump in, building, you know, a culture of anticipation and trying to get people to take those next steps. Man, this has been fantastic. I, you know, been furiously taking some notes here. Would love to, you know, if there's anything else you'd love to kind of talk about before we jump on to the rest of the episode, anything else that you want to share with our listeners?
No, I think it's just important to note with 1122 that there is no real magic secret sauce here. It's just, it's super simple. We sing three songs. We preach the word verse by verse. And the rest of it, we're just trying to figure out as we go. Honestly, we're just trying to hold on a little bit for what the Lord's doing.
This is the Unseminary Podcast. Stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
Well, today we've got Ryan Britt on the call. We're super excited to have him here. We're about to jump into the lightning round, that part of the episode where we answer similar questions to everybody that's on the episode. Ryan, thanks for being on the show today. What's an online resource that you're using these days that, you know, is helping you out in your ministry?
The newest one I found is Wonderlist.
Okay, nice.
Beautiful little app that helps me keep everything organized.
Nice, very cool. What's a book you've read, you know, or a few books you've read in the last, you know, 6 months that's had an impact on your thinking and your ministry?
Leadership Pain by Samuel Chand. Great
that's,
read.
That's a great book. If you haven't read that, that really is a fantastic book. Particularly, you know, as a growing church like yours, I imagine you are surrounded with pain. You know, that's definitely a part of it.
Yeah, it's a beautiful. His line in the book is, "You can only grow to the threshold of your pain."
Yeah,
I think that's both true of me personally and of our organization here, and so we're learning a lot about that. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what are some other churches that you're looking at, or other ministries you're looking at that kind of to inspire you or to learn from?
Well, I always look back to my mentors at 12 Stone Church in Atlanta, Dan Ryland, Kevin Myers, and there's a plethora of incredible leaders at 12 Stone that you may not have ever heard their names, good friends of mine. I lean on them a lot. Mosaic Orlando is a great church that we're close with, and they've got some really interesting thoughts on discipleship, and they're doing some great things there. And then obviously the Summit in Raleigh, J.D. Greer's church, we lean on them a lot, and they are we call ourselves a big old toddler that's just tripping all over ourselves, being 3 years old, and they're a big old middle schooler that's tripping all over themselves. So they're a little farther along with real similar models, and so we lean on them a lot, and man, we owe a lot to all three of those places.
Very cool. If you could get 15 minutes with any leader that's alive today, you know, who would you want to get that time with and why?
Well, right now I'd have to say it'd be Mark Driscoll. Yeah, and Mark was really formative in my early ministry and the way that I thought about ministry, and really helped me break through some of the bad thinking that I had from growing up. And man, I'd like to thank him for that, and thank him for helping me find some grounding, but also ask him some questions just about leadership, and specifically humility and pain and lessons he's learned in the last couple of years. Obviously, everybody knows what they've been going through, and right, wrong, or indifferent, that's not so much what I'd want to spend time on as much as just, man, what's God doing in your heart through the vehicle of pain and humility? And how's that affected you as a father and as a husband? Those kind of things.
Very cool. Well, I'm sure leading in a fast-growing church like yours, you're busy a lot. What do you do to just kind of kick back, relax, you know, have fun?
I love to play golf, and Florida is a great place to live if you like to play golf. I definitely don't get to play enough. I don't know that you could call what I do playing, but I like to go out there and swing.
Love to walk around and chase a white ball around.
And I love movies. I get out to the movies a lot, and so those are kind of my two outlets for free space.
Nice. Well, Ryan, I really appreciate you being on the show today. If people want to get in touch with you or of the church of 1122, how can they do that?
Yeah, they could email me at ryan.britt, B-R-I-T-T, at COE22.com. That's my personal email address, and I will make sure that I can get connected to them, and if I can't help them, I'll find somebody who can, and that's probably the fastest line, or they can go to COE22.com, and all of our church information, mailing address, phone number, it's all located there, and we'd be more than happy to help in any way that we can to anybody that we can.
Very cool. Thanks so much, Ryan, again, for being on the show.
My pleasure, Rich. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Don't be shy. We'd love to connect. Check out Unseminary Inbox. You can sign up at unseminary.com, and we'll send you helpful training resources every week. Plus, you'll gain immediate access to our exclusive members area with tons of resources you can use. Connect with Rich on Twitter at Rich Birch, or through email, rich@unseminary.com. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode at unseminary.com. It includes links to what we talked about today and more. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Did you enjoy today's episode? Drop by iTunes and leave a review. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Join us next week when we'll learn more stuff we wish they taught in seminary.